proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. As we progress in looking at the requirements for revival, as found in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we come to realize that revival requires a repentant heart. According to the third chapter of Luke's Gospel, a multitude came to John the Baptist, wanting him to baptize them. After first asking them, quote, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" unquote, John the Baptist told the crowd to, quote, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance," unquote. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Jews whom Samuel addressed faced a similar challenge. They needed to demonstrate the sincerity of their newfound attachment to God, and they would have to do this by repenting of their idolatrous practices. Repentance contains two key elements: a change of mind and a subsequent alteration of action. The Greek noun translated repentance, metanoeo, that Greek noun denoted afterthoughts connected with a given action. The modern Hebrew term for repentance, teshuvah, derived from a verb that meant to turn. Both words indicated that contrition for sins are the result in both a transformed outlook and changed behavior. Repentance differs from remorse. The latter attitude involves experiencing regret for past offenses, but does not necessarily result in a change of heart. A criminal can express remorse that he got caught in his criminal action, but that does not necessarily mean he had a changed attitude or changed behavior regarding that action. On the other hand, repentance deals with perceiving sin as an offense against God, regardless of earthly consequences. The story of Cain, contained in the fourth chapter of Genesis, helps illustrate the differences between repentance and remorse. After God pronounced sentence on him for killing his brother Abel, Cain replied that, quote, "My punishment is greater than I can bear," unquote. Cain experienced remorse for his deed, fearing the adverse consequences which might ensue from his sin, namely becoming a fugitive and vagabond in the earth, and having people seek to kill him. Cain expressed remorse at his murder of Abel, but he did not repent of the crime itself. Contrast that with the behavior of the prodigal son described in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. That young man did manifest contrition after profligacy and a famine had returned him to poverty, after he came to himself, as the Bible put it. The prodigal son determined that he would, quote, "Arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants," unquote. Moreover, the prodigal son acted upon that resolution and actually returned to his boyhood home. When he did, the prodigal son received his father's forgiveness and restoration to a position of sonship. How did the Jews in 1 Samuel chapter 7 demonstrate their repentance? The narrative stated that, quote, "The children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only." They did away with their religious syncretism. They abandoned the pagan gods they had worshipped in the past. For a time at least, they wholly determined to follow the Lord, the true God of Israel. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.